What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Monday, March 16th, 2020. Tim Geddes, can I get a hell yeah?
Hell yeah, baby.
That's right. It's 316, Austin 316. Respect the Lord and Savior. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside Forbes 30 Under 30, a.k.a. the second best baby blues in San Francisco, a.k.a. the engaged one at Tim Geddes.
Let's him host. There is broken glass everywhere, Greg, and I wouldn't have it any other way.
That's what I like to say. Hey, Tim, how are you?
I'm fantastic, man. This is the first time we've ever done a podcast from home.
Exactly. Ladies and gentlemen, if you are listening in your car, your tractor, maybe you're flying a plane, congratulations, pay attention to the clouds. But if you're a video listener over there, you notice that, yeah, you're just getting a looping screen over there. Because indeed, because of COVID, we have decided to work from home for this week and the foreseeable future. And so we are doing all the podcasts from home this week. So yeah, it's completely different. What are you wearing, Tim?
I'm wearing a hoodie that Twitch gave me years ago for a company called Niche that no longer exists.
Yes, of
course. It was comfortable then. It's comfortable now.
Do you think it would have been comfortable if that app stuck around?
Yeah, I think it would have been more comfortable then.
Sure.
But
sure.
It's doing pretty good. I got some sweatpants on as well, and I got some MeUndies on. I got some MeUndies socks. I don't know if we're sponsored today, but my life is sponsored by MeUndies.
Got you. I appreciate that. We are not sponsored by MeUndies today. I'll tell you about that later, though. Yeah, so, of course, ladies and gentlemen, if you didn't know, because we just said it, but this is all news to you, you are listening to the first show, and I mean first ever show we've done from home, meaning that this is very much the beginning of us figuring out all the problems. So if things aren't balanced, if things aren't going the way they should, let us know. We'll get to it and fix it. But obviously, we are all dealing with a unforeseen circumstance here in our life as we go through this. So we appreciate your patience. Of course, please continue to support us wherever you do. I know, obviously, on YouTube, just having a spinning background isn't the best solution. But hey, it's a storm. We got to go to any port, right, Tim?
Oh, got to go to the ports. And I do recommend everybody listening right now to check out the VOD on Twitch of our test stream we did last night, because that was something special.
I think it really sets the tone and tenor for what this week is going to be, which is all of us already on the brink of insanity, ready to do whatever we have to have fun with each other. But enough about that, Tim. Instead, let's talk about everything you ever wanted to know about the Xbox Series X and Animal Crossing reviews, because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show, patreon.com/kindafunnygames, where you can get the show ad-free and with the exclusive post-show. One caveat to us doing this from home, of course, is that since there's really no video version, there won't be a video version on Patreon. We're just going to upload the audio files of it, because of course, do you really need to see the spinning background? We don't think so, but let us know if you think otherwise. Of course, patreon.com/kindafunnygames is also where you can get all your questions in, be part of the show. Questions, comments, concerns, we want your squad up requests and anything you want to talk about under the video game sun. You can watch us record the show live on twitch.tv/kindafunnygames. If you're watching live, you have a special job. Go to kindafunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up, so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindafunnygames, roosterteeth.com, and listening on podcast services around the globe. It's a glass coffee table I'm on right now. I didn't know how hard I could bang.
Glass chatters, dude. 316.
Yeah. Oh, can you imagine if I smashed that in Austin? You see, I had one of his beers. I had many beers from him over the weekend.
The James Burke special, man. He loves that Stone Cold IPA.
It's really good. It's really good. We're not sponsored by him either.
Surprisingly, it is good.
Yeah. Let's get some housekeeping out of the way, because it is a huge show today, Tim. First and foremost, our Animal Crossing review is live. Joey and myself talk about Animal Crossing an hour right now. If you want to go hear our take on New Horizons, long and short of it is we love it. We think you will too. But please head over to youtube.com/kindafunnygames. Podcast services around the globe. It's on the Gamescast feed. It is one of your two Gamescasts this week, Tim.
Mm-hmm. That's exciting stuff. Also, on the Kind of Funny side, youtube.com/kindoffunny, the new animated video is up. The best of Kind of Funny moments animated. It's Andy being addicted to hot Cheetos, and it's very good.
Okay, great. On top of all that, ladies and gentlemen, we were supposed to host the core reveal party this week on Kind of Funny, but working from home, both us and the people who make the video game Core mean that can't happen. So we're going to do the big stream for Core when we get back. You will, of course, be able to join us, play with us, build multiplayer games alongside us, and then publish them immediately. But instead, right now, you can go support Core. Today, they announced they are in alpha, meaning that you can go and sign up and create your own multiplayer games and play them instantly with the world. Go to coregame.com. You can get in the alpha, you can get creating, you can get ready for our stream. Plus, you can catch them streaming all week long, but specifically all day long today on twitch.tv/core live. Once we finish Cool Friends, I'm going to make sure we host that for them, because they have been very nice about, hey, we're going to do this big stream party with you at GDC. Awesome. Wait, GDC isn't happening. Okay. Wait, we're working from home. Okay, so are we. Okay, well, we'll figure this out later, but Core is a really cool game where you get to go create multiplayer stuff. We're excited to play it with you whenever the fates allow. Right now, thank you to our Patreon producers, Mohammed Mohammed, Drew Garnier Frutis, Blackjack, and the kind of funny Destiny 2 PC clan. Today, we're brought to you by Hims and Manscaped, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. Three items on the Roper Report.
Baker's dozen.
There you go. Fuck everybody who said this show wouldn't have the same bar of quality. Looking at it right now.
Kevin, a new mic.
No, I love it.
I'm getting
a
new mic today, guys. We've talked about it. Please don't be mean.
Kevin, we're not being mean. You're doing a great job. That was fantastic. Everybody loves it when things are a little, the screws are a bit loose. And if I have to hear one more person say, I wish they could go back to the spare bedroom. Motherfuckers, we're in it right now. All right? You're going to deal with it. Number one on the Roper Report, it's an Xbox Series X blowout. Both the Xbox Newswire and Digital Foundry have comprehensive reports. I can barely understand all about the Xbox Series X under the hood stuff. The summary that I got, Tim, correct me if I'm wrong, it's really
I
fast.
I couldn't even hear, Kevin. I'm sorry. That. Oh, I love this so much. Just so you guys know, we heard Kevin.
That's awesome.
But, okay, I got sorry. It. Now they can hear me.
Yep. Now they can hear Kevin. You want to do it again, Kevin? Because it was great. You came out of nowhere with it. Here, let's do it again, all right? Okay? Just for you, Kev. So let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. Nice, no, broken. He's broken.
No, you're supposed to say how many news stories, right?
Yeah, whatever. Three news stories.
A Baker's dozen!
Yeah, we all screwed it up on that one. But like I said, welcome back to the spare bedroom. Tim, the summary I got of all this stuff, because there's a lot of words up there I don't understand. Mm-hmm. It's really fast. Ray tracing is beautiful. And input lag will be a thing of the past. And also, it's also bigger than a banana.
It is bigger than a banana, yeah.
Not by
a lot
much.
Of good news. Yeah. Controllers looking fantastic. The load time's looking great. The one thing that I think is most exciting is that out the gate, it's going to essentially enhance every game that you already own on the Xbox platforms just already. Like, it's going to be enhanced.
What
loading,
does that mean,
enhanced
though?
Visuals, okay. Things, all the things that you'd want, they're going to be there right when you get this console. Just off the top, the one thing that I don't love is the proprietary memory card that they got going on.
Oh, we're going to get to that. Yeah, you want me? I got a whole bunch of things to talk about.
I'm sure we'll go through it all. Just top level, where my head's at. This is all obviously fantastic news. I've spent the last couple of days playing Doom on the Xbox One X.
Another Kind of Funny Gamescast review you'll be getting this week?
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
you're getting it tomorrow, Tuesday morning, Animal Crossing and Doom back to back?
Crazy stuff, guys. Crazy stuff. But yeah, I've been playing it. My God, it's just beautiful. The X runs that thing so well. And to know that we're going to get a console that is even more powerful so soon, very exciting stuff. And especially knowing that it's going to make these games better. That's really cool shit.
Yeah, no, it's fantastic. Would you like to get into some of the mumbo jumbo stuff?
Let's do it.
Because I don't want to, because again, if you are one of these people, right, you're over there in your lab coat and you got your fucking stethoscope on, you're like, I love gigahertz and teraflops. Mm-hmm. You are on the wrong show with Greg Miller, but I can give you that. So here's the mumbo jumbo from IGN's Adam Bankhurst. Also, Tim, I want you to know that this morning I got up, I showered as normal, I got ready, I did my hair, then discovered the sink had flooded in the kitchen. So I had to tear all that apart and then be late to the show. And then I just spilled some coffee and cleaned it up with a sock. So that's where we're at. I'm working from home.
Gotta love it, man.
Here's the mumbo jumbo from IGN's Adam Bankhurst. The Xbox Series X will include 8X Zen 2 cores at 3.8 gigahertz, 12 teraflops, 16 GB GDDR6 RAM, 1 terabyte of internal storage with the option for expandable storage through a 1 terabyte expansion card, and much more. The Xbox Series X processors has enough power to run up to four Xbox One S game sessions at once, but its dedicated hardware-enabled ray tracing can harness, quote, the equivalent of 25 teraflops of power, despite the console's GPU having 12 teraflops, end quote. Does that get you excited, Tim? Does that move?
If I'm being honest, it's like we're hitting a point that these numbers are just so ridiculous that it's like, sure, it is exciting that they're that high. Like this is the type of tech nerd in me. Like it brings me back to being like a 9-year-old boy, excited to go to Best Buy just to walk through the graphics card aisle of the computer section, just to look at all the dinosaurs on the boxes and stuff. Mm-hmm, you know what I'm talking about?
I do remember this.
And then try to find one that just has what are the biggest numbers? There's something exciting about big numbers, right? And right. I feel like that excitement only goes so far nowadays because it needs to be backed up with, you know, what does this actually mean? And luckily, Xbox has already proven that. So I feel...
And that's the biggest thing about it is, I'm sorry to cut you off. I'm not the number tech guy, whatever, but they're saying all these numbers, whatever. And then you have Digital Foundry going through and like you said, talking about load times, talking about suspending and resuming multiple games in one session, right? And how they're taking this raw data that I know gets people who are those kind of people excited, but making it matter to me. Mm-hmm.
Sirens are on my side if you hear that.
Didn't even hear him, but I love it. We can't get away from it. Don't worry about it. Earlier, there was a leaf blower outside. Jen was like, you're going to love that. I don't know. Does he go all day? How many leaves are back there?
Yeah, man. It's and again, like I keep saying, like we already have the 1X, and that was the first console that really pushed the flops, right? I feel like that kind of introduced the Xbox One S introduced HDR into people's lexicon when it comes to playing games. Xbox One X introduced the flops. And so now to be at a point where, you know, the general gaming public kind of understands aspects of that a bit more and like what that actually can mean for the system, like, yeah, just more numbers are better. And these numbers are insane because we're talking double, triple in some cases, right? And even here, they're talking about this 12 teraflops, which is double the 6 teraflops of the 1X, but it can be the equivalent of 25 teraflops. It's like, all right.
Flops on flops on flops on flops. Another thing, I called it out at the front, but I pulled this more from the Xbox Wire report. Over there, Will Tuttle, who, of course, is an ex-IGN team Xbox. He worked with us at IGN back in the day. He was talking about what for him was the most impressive when he was looking through ray tracing was the way colors came through glass and the way in the way it changed the way light looked, and even what they showed again with in their side by side of Minecraft with ray tracing on, ray tracing off. For me, as again somebody who looks at all these numbers and it's Greek to me, seeing stuff like that in action is where I get super excited, where ray tracing does seem like it's going to be that graphical jump I talk about all the time of like, how much can it go from, right? Where can it go from? You know, we talk about when it was, you know, NES to SNES, SNES to 64, you know, there were these giant leaps in what it looked like. And I feel like PS3 to PS4, while granted, when you go back and look at it now, like, you know, a late game PS4 game to an early PS3 game, you're like, of course, there's a huge jump there. But it was so much more incremental. This does seem like a big jump for console gaming.
I mean, it definitely does. I feel like the proof is in the pudding with the ray tracing and all that stuff, because when the Xbox One first launched, like it wasn't even hitting the 1080p, right?
Yeah.
And I feel like now that we're kind of at the end of the cycle and stuff, it's like every game's currently not even hitting 4K. I want proof that, you know, when these games are coming out, that we're hitting that 4K 60. Then we can add the ray tracing.
Sure.
Then we can get even crazier. They're talking about frames per second higher than 60. That's going to be a rarity. I don't think that that's going to be commonplace with this iteration of the consoles. But even with all that, it's very exciting stuff. And yeah, ray tracing, HDR, these are things that aren't necessarily going to like wow people that don't know, but it's when you have things side by side, then you're like, oh my God, that is demonstrably better. I do think it is similar to what you're talking about what your mind remembers PS3 games looking like compared to how much they actually look like.
Here's a question from BJ Bernardo, who wrote in to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and says, hi y'all. With the Xbox Series X releasing tech specs today, it felt like they're really focusing on load times or lack thereof. What's more important, load times or better graphics? Thanks, BJ. Tim?
It's case by case, right? I think it's game by game, and it depends on how the developers optimize the experience. Are you playing a game that it's one load and then you're in forever? Because in that case, I'd rather take a minute of load time to have a prettier game for hours of experience, right? Compared to, is it a game that you're loading every damn 3 seconds? Then loading's gonna be important for sure.
Yeah, I think you're right that it's a case by case thing, and actually, in you know, you don't want to cut off your nose to spite your face here, right? If you are going to say, "Oh no, well, I mean, better graphics are better," and then the load times are ginormous and are every 5 seconds, that's a completely different thing. Mm-hmm. But even last night, you know, playing The Division 2, like that initial load in takes so long, and I would love if when we get these new consoles, we're jumping in there, and Xbox Series X is lightning fast right into it. You know, I am super stoked for this suspend feature for this, of not having to quit your progress in multiple games. And I thought it was really fascinating. I don't know how much you got to read today, their reasoning behind it. It was from them having these conversations of noticing what their actual user base was doing with the Xbox One X, with the Xbox, and saying, okay, we see that they're playing multiple games a month. We should figure out how to make the console work for them in a specific way that is rare, you know, not rare, but you and or people like me, I think, are becoming more of the dinosaurs where I play one game and I'm playing that one game and I'm going to beat that game and then I'll move on to the next thing. Whereas with things like Fortnite, you know, with things like Minecraft, these, you know, constant experiences you're going through, you have to be switching console or switching games more often than not.
Yeah. That's really true. It's interesting with all this stuff because I feel like, you know, with the quick resume stuff and all the loading, we're still going to see games be well developed and optimized. Optimized is probably the word I'm looking for, not well developed. I just played Ori and the Will of the Wisps over the last weekend, and granted, we were playing the pre-release and that was before the patch, but I played about half the game with the day one patch that was supposed to fix everything. And I'm playing that game on the One X, and you'd imagine that the One X could eat that for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, right?
Oh yeah, yeah.
And no, it didn't, man. I had more tech problems than I did with Force Unleashed, Force Awakens. Wait, no, Fallen Order. Jedi Fallen Order.
I'm right there with you. I could not remember which Animal Crossing was the DS one. I was like, wait, Animal Crossing New Frontier? Joey's like, no, you idiot.
Yeah, and that's crazy, right? Like that, you know, a game that looks that simple that I feel like a lot of people would look at and be like, oh, when's it going to get ported to the Switch? It was still hitching so much on the One X, and even simple things like bringing up your map, which you're doing constantly. And I think that's a good example of optimizations necessary that are more important necessarily than pretty graphics. But for something that is so key to the gameplay experience, those are the loading instances. It's not necessarily seeing a loading screen at the bottom of the screen, like kind of fill up. It's the moment-to-moment gameplay stuff of how long does it take to get from the gameplay screen to the menu screen and back.
Yeah. Now, here's my question for you. And this is just spitballing here. But you're using Ori as your example, right? An Xbox exclusive. One of the big ones they've been hanging their hat on in terms of like console stuff. That, even on your Xbox One X, is having issues. Does that lead you, when you read all these specs and hear about the loading and hear about this amazing stuff, to take it with a grain of salt? And this isn't an Xbox-only thing. This is a PlayStation. This is everybody talking about their next new box, that inevitably this still happens.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's what I was saying earlier. Like, do not expect 4K 60 for a majority of the games. It's simply not going to happen. Even now for similarly specced computers, we're not seeing that. I feel like it's rare that games hit that. Granted, the Xbox One or Series X seems to be really trying to like have something to prove here. But I do think it's important to look at what's going on currently with the One X and how games are playing there, especially new games, especially smaller games. But there's something to be said about it being a smaller game, right?
Yeah.
Like it's not like we're talking about there's thousands of people working on this thing to optimize it, but it is a big exclusive. I don't know. I kind of go back and forth, but it's important to keep an eye on it and to just be realistic that none of these things are going to solve all our problems. They all are all going to add up to making our experiences much, much better.
Right now, what I'm seeing is my wife popping up in Slack because she's listening to the show saying one of you has notifications on. And then I see in the Twitch chat, everyone going ding, ding, ding. But the fact that they're all saying ding, ding, ding as my wife was ding, ding, dinging me makes it think it's me. On this other, so let me, I'm opening Slack.
It is in fact me. It is me. Sorry.
Oh, it's fine.
I'm downloading some stuff. I'm trying to prep the something.
I take it back from my wife. I'm sorry, Jen. I didn't mean to go after you. You know what I mean? I didn't mean to make it like it was her fault or whatever. But again, you wanted the spare bedroom, motherfuckers. Here you go. Enjoy the goddamn dings. Am I right, Tim?
Ring-a-ding-ding.
Tim, give me the Wolfpack thing to your screen.
Oh, shit.
Too sweet. Well, no, there's no camera. It. Nobody knows. Oh, I don't know if you're doing it. You don't know if I'm doing it. No,
I did it. I did it.
Hell
I
yeah,
touched my monitor, man. For you.
Don't touch that or your face.
Oh.
All right, so now, believe it or not, we are not moving on to another story. We are still within the Xbox Series X blowout story. Now we're going to go to IGN, where Joe Scrabbles, a made-up name, says, "What's new with the Xbox controller?" In an interview on the Xbox Newswire, senior designer Ryan Whitaker went through some of the differences on the very familiar controller. That similarity is key. People are very used to the Xbox controller design, so changes were meant to be evolutionary rather than wholesale. The biggest difference is in how the controller will now be easier to hold for those with smaller hands. While not immediately noticeably smaller, the team has achieved the effect by rounding the bumpers slightly, reducing and rounding parts of the triggers, and carefully sculpting the grips. Bumpers and triggers now also have a tactile dot pattern not found on the standard Xbox One controllers. The new D-pad is designed as a hybrid between the two swappable designs of the Xbox Elite controller. It has a slightly deeper lowest point, allowing for the thumb to sit more comfortably inside, and will apparently allow for easy pressing of up, down, left, and right, while also making it easier to perform sweeps and diagonals. As previously seen, the controller now has a share button between and below the view and menu buttons. It's not clear exactly how it will work in practice, but Whitaker explains that it's designed to allow screenshots or video to be recorded without the need of on-screen menus. Well, it's not clear. Fake Joe Scrabbles. It's just going to be the PlayStation or the Switch. It's going to be more like the Switch, right? Tap for a screenshot, hold for a video. This is how you know Joe Scrabbles is just a title they pass around, Tim. Yeah. If Joe Scrabbles was one person in the business for the 30 years I've been reading Joe Scrabbles' names, he would know these things. Yeah. The controller will now remember multiple Bluetooth devices and to allow for faster connections, and includes Bluetooth low energy that should make pairing more simple. The controller now has a USB-C port, thank God, for pairing and connecting, but wireless latency has also been worked on. Essentially, says Whitaker, information is sent more frequently from the controller and matched with the exact frames of your game on screen. Whew. Tim.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're playing your third-party stuff solely on Xbox.
Mm-hmm.
Are you stoked for this controller?
I mean, I'm holding the Elite Series 2 in my hands right now, Greg. And there's a lot of similarities between what they showed today and what I'm holding in my hand right now. And it's all good stuff. That D-pad looks real nice. I'm interested in it. I don't know. Xbox has never nailed the D-pad on any of these consoles, on any iteration of the Elite controllers, whatever it is. They're always close. They're always so close. They're not always so close. They've been so close. I have really enjoyed both the Elite Series 1 and Series 2 D-pads, just not as much as a traditional Nintendo D-pad, or even the PlayStation DualShock 4 one, but that's just because of placement more than anything. But I love having the little ribbed triggers. That's really nice. What the Elite Series 2 doesn't have right now is the bumpers having the little ribs as well, the tactile dots that they're talking about. I don't know how necessary that is, but they do feel nice on this controller. And my favorite things, features of the controller, are the weight of it and the USB-C. It just makes things super nice. And the quicker we move to an all USB-C present, the better, in my opinion.
100%. Yeah, definitely. Now, Nanobiologist calls out in the you're wrong here, and he's calling me out, but he should call out Joe Scrabble because that's who I'm reading from. You didn't mention that the new Xbox controller will still use AA batteries. How are you feeling about that, Timothy?
I do not like that at all, but isn't that wait, hold on. So it's not optional? So with the Elite controller, it's optional. The Elite controller, I can charge it with USB-C. So I guess, hold on, let me reread this real quick. So the USB-C is only for pairing or for latency, getting rid of latency. Huh. Well, that seems like a mistake. I don't like that at all.
Yeah, I'm looking at it here. Now I'm trying to find a better article for it. Here's what I got for you on that, all right? This is from Matt Brown at Windows Central. Xbox Series X controller features USB-C port, AA batteries return. Microsoft has provided some additional details on the new Xbox wireless controller, on track to ship alongside the Xbox Series X later in 2020. The redesign gamepad, it's all the stuff. Ergonomics, further streamlined design, blah, blah, blah. As previously announced, new controller will... Your headline was about this. Why am I five graphs in now, still looking for this battery?
The graphs.
You know what I mean? Oh, sorry, is that too? And that's how I talk. Here we go. I think maybe let's jump in. With Microsoft recently unveiling the full Xbox Series X specifications, Redmond has provided additional context surrounding its company controller. That includes the addition of USB-C connectivity to replace the top-facing micro USB port, adopting a modern standard primed for growth of Project xCloud on mobile too. The USB-C. The new Xbox Series X gamepad also returns this. Oh, here we go. The new Xbox Series X gamepad also retains the external batteries, requiring AA batteries or a separate charging pack. So just like every other Xbox controllers you've ever had. When using a charging pack, users will need the USB-C to USB-A cable due to lack of USB-C on the system itself.
That's dumb too.
That's very dumb too. I don't like that at all. Yeah. Well, that's a swing and a miss. We've been lucky enough, obviously, to have Xbox people come through before, right? And be on Gamescast and stuff. And I inevitably give them shit about this eventually, that their controller, I always, you know, try to become a real troll about it and how they're not like eco-friendly or whatever. And they just go, is it really that hard to buy the controller pack? Which always speaks to me, they're just trying to keep the price down on what they're giving you in the box. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
It does. And, you know, it's an interesting thing where I can see an argument against the Elite Series controllers not having battery functionality or like AA battery functionality, because you're spending hundreds of dollars on this thing. And eventually when the internal battery dies, you're kind of screwed. And that's such a big investment. Because, I mean, how many DualShock 4s have you had over your time that just don't hold a charge anymore? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like eventually that becomes a problem. I do think USB-C helps with all that. But yeah, there's no great answers here, but this is definitely not what I would like to see from this. And
of the box, I wish it was just charge.
And people are saying that it's compatible with the old play and charge pack. But to me, that means then you have to be using micro USB. It's just a whole too many cables.
Well, no, because remember the previous play and charge packs, right? You just pop in the back of the controller and you do charge them just by putting it into the USB slot. So I'd take my Xbox One controller battery pack, put it into my Xbox Series X controller pack, shut it, and then USB-C the controller, and it would work.
And that's how it charges the...
That's how it charges the battery pack, yeah. I understand what you're thinking of in the Xbox 360 battery packs, at least some of them, correct me if I'm wrong, everybody, were that you could take them out and put them into charging docks. I guess technically you probably still could do that with Xbox One ones, but I'd never seen anybody do that.
Either way, this is just
it's another step.
It's the little things, man, that like this is it the end of the world? Absolutely not. Is it annoying? 1000%. Does it matter to me? No, because I have my Elite controller that's going to be compatible with the next gen.
Deal.
So for every bad move they're making, they're also making good moves, right?
We'll see. I mean, I think so, yeah, but we'll see. But here's, I think, the biggest bad move of the day. Timothy Geddes. Are you ready? Because this is going to be a long one. I'm reading from Mike Williams at US Gamer. Mike Williams, of course, friend of the show. I'm going to read pretty much this entire article. So everyone should go to US Gamer and give it a read there. Give him a click because it's he breaks it down very well, I think. The biggest piece of bad news here, Tim, I think, and as you said too, is that you're going to need these proprietary cards to expand the memory.
Yeah.
You will eventually run out of space on your game console. One day, you'll need to delete games or increase your storage capacity. It's inevitable. How you handle that situation varies on the system you own. For the Nintendo Switch, it's as easy as popping in a new micro SD card. For the PlayStation 4, the PlayStation 4 Pro, you need to change the 2.5-inch hard drive in an easily accessible hardware tray. On the Xbox One and the Xbox One X, though, replacing the hard drive is much harder, as it requires taking apart the system, which voids your warranty. Instead, it's best to rely on external USB hard drives to back up your games. With the upcoming Xbox Series X, Microsoft is offering a new solution, though it'll likely be a costly one. As revealed in Digital Foundry's report, the Xbox Series X works on a system Microsoft calls the Velocity Architecture, where the SSD and the I/O system works to provide Xbox Series X game additional benefits. Velocity Architecture allows game storage to become additional memory, while also saving CPU overhead and efficiency loading assets like textures. Okay. The important part is the console expects games to run off the Series X custom 1 TB NVMe SSD. Microsoft realizes that 1 TB might not be enough for the life of the system, so there's a proprietary slot in the back of the system for expandable storage. This slot uses custom-built NVMe SSD cartridges that, once inserted into the system, work just like the speedy internal hard drive. Am I still here? Okay, good. Oof, Tim, my screen went to sleep because I'm using this new PC setup, and I was like, oh God, am I gone? The cartridge design also includes the necessary heatsink to protect the NVMe SSD from overheating. But this means you can't just plug in any hard drive. You need one from Microsoft. The 1 terabyte expansion unit that our friends at Digital Foundry played with was Seagate branded. The format is meant to be portable, meaning you should be able to pick up multiple units and swap them in as needed. Digital Foundry's hardware breakdown video even shows a plastic cover for the expansion unit when it's not in the system. Does this sound familiar, Tim? Memory cards? Xbox Series X still has support for external USB 3.2 hard drives, but that's related to Microsoft's promise that all Xbox One accessories will work with the new console. Series X owners can use external USB hard drives to store and run Xbox One and Xbox backwards compatibility titles. You will be able to store Xbox Series X games on the drives, but you won't be able to run them without transferring the game to the internal NVMe hard drive for the custom slot drive.
NVMe. Just so you know.
Oh, I'm supposed to say the E, not me. Yeah, why is the E lowercase? That's dumb.
I don't know, but it is.
NVMe, got it. The 1 terabyte expansion cards will apparently be swappable between different Xbox Series X systems, so you'll be able to copy your games over to the cards and take them to a friend's console. There's no word on pricing for the custom 1 terabyte expansion cards, but they'll probably be expensive. Seagate already sells its 1 terabyte USB 3.0 game drive for Xbox One for a suggested retail price of $214.99. That's just a standard 1 terabyte USB 3.0 SSD drive, and the NVMe SSD needed for the Xbox Series X is more expensive. A standard Seagate 1 terabyte SSD costs $129.99, while the NVMe SSD costs $199.99. Though you can find it for as low as $149.99. That's a $70 premium, so I'm guessing $250 won't be the asking price. I'm guessing $250 will be the asking price of the 1 terabyte expansion card. If you're willing to go the normal external USB 3.0 hard drive, that'll be much cheaper, but you'll need to move your Series X games around if your library is hefty enough. And libraries aren't getting smaller, as assets for 4K take up a lot of space. Call of Duty Warzone, the recent standalone battle royale for Call of Duty Modern Warfare, is 80 to 100 gigabytes on its own. So that space will be eaten up by future titles pretty quickly. Tim, this is something you led off talking about.
Yeah.
What's your read on it?
So it's obviously bad news. Proprietary is never a fun thing, and it just limits your options. That's
Memory Stick Pro Duo.
There you go. The difference here, erroneous in the chat says, Tim and Greg, the reason why they use special external storage is the need for it to be fast enough on par with the internal storage. Sony will do the same simply because there are not an external solution fast enough. That is an interesting point, and it is important because they are trying to build a system that works, and I applaud them for that. What I don't applaud them for is the markups and the premium prices. And unfortunately, that is just going to be the reality. These NVMe SSDs are very expensive in internal or this new external version that they're trying to do. And I can imagine a lot of people wanting to know why the Xbox didn't lead with a bigger internal hard drive to get ahead of it, right? Like, why only have 1 terabyte if you know this is going to be a problem? That would make the console cost even more than it's already going to, demonstrably. Like, I think by the hundreds.
Yeah, no, I want to talk. That was a question from Anakin JMT for patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, which was, is Microsoft making a mistake not including more storage, or is it strategic move to keep the price down and stay competitive? I think just like the fact that the controllers aren't built in to be rechargeable, I think, yes, this is most definitely how can we get as much out of this without making you guys pay $600, $700?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty insane. I'm very interested to see what this costs based on all the specs that they're talking about. Like, the more they talk about it, the more it's like, wow, this thing is going to be a beast. This thing is going to cost a lot of money. And these SSDs, like, I'm really interested in computer parts and, you know, building computers and stuff. And constantly I'm looking at these SSDs and, like, trying to deck out my system. And the 2 terabyte is at that point where it is the top of the line when it comes to, all right, you're spending a lot of money, but you're going to get some good stuff. Anything more than that, you're just like, wow. It's that jump between, okay, cool, the TV's $3,000, but it's top of the line, and then the next jump up is $15,000.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Like,
100%.
The 2 terabyte NVMe SSDs are kind of like, you're paying a lot, but it's the end of the reasonable purchases. So Xbox isn't going to want to do that as their standard. You can go a little bit lower. You're going to have to go a little bit lower But that does suck for the proprietary side of things. But if it works, it works. And that's the difference between the Pro Duo and stuff that we're talking about with the PSP, is this is a move to be able to expand your playability of games on the system, not just storage. Like, you can still have the external storage and other hard drives to hold the games and then just transfer them over to this. Obviously, none of this is ideal, but it's just the realities we're facing when games are 100 gigabytes each.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think, you know, the fact that somebody called out in the chat, right, Erroneous was saying that it's going to be the same way on PS5. This is the problem with going first, right, and announcing this. I don't think, is this, like, the end of the world? No. You know what I mean? Like, we talk about this all the time. Like, I am the guy who prides himself on keeping his PlayStation 4 Pro, like, neat and tidy. And so when I see games start slipping and I'm like, I'm never going to get back to you, but even if I want to get back to you, I'll re-download you and I clean them up. Like, I guess on my PlayStation 4 launch unit, right? Like, before I did anything with it, I put a new hard drive in it. But mm-hmm. with the PlayStation 4 Pro, that's never been a problem because I just keep cycling things so quickly. And so, yeah, to your point, this comes down to if you're that kind of gamer. Like, they're giving you a terabyte to play with, which granted, in the land of 100 gigabyte games, isn't the most in the world, but it's enough that you should be able to juggle. And if you really need to juggle and move to that, you know, external solution, there it is. Or, yeah, you know, storm over there and transfer them the other way with what you already have. They're giving you options, even though it seems like this is the way they're doing it.
The other thing to keep in mind is we're also moving towards a different future that doesn't work the way things currently do, right?
Great,
like,
point.
We already know that things like xCloud are going to exist. And granted, the people that have the Series X probably aren't the market for xCloud, but maybe they are for certain games, right? And on top of that, we're already hearing a lot of talk from PlayStation and Xbox, if I remember correctly, about games kind of having multiple, like, piecemeal downloads per game, whether it's single player, multiplayer,
you can download the multiplayer,
this mode, that mode. And I feel like the more we get used to that, like, I feel like things will start making a bit more sense. And it's just a lot of things to kind of help this all work, even though it's never going to work perfectly. Like, and by that I mean you're gonna have to spend money if you want the premiums, and that sucks, but it's reality.
It's also exactly, it's reality, right? I think in, like, you know, we brought up PSP, right? You bring up the way Vita did it. Like, I mean, even you want to go to PlayStation 2 and their memory cards, like, mm-hmm. People are always tacking something on here. And like, even with your Switch and how much built-in memory was in that, right? We all immediately ran out and bought a card. Like, you bring up a great point that this isn't apples to apples. This is a step up in terms of technology. It is new technology. It is going to need new solutions. And so, yeah, I think it's one of those, like, I think we've all been burned by proprietary tech before. That's why you're like, ooh. But Xbox seems to be doing everything right in terms of building a really cool system and giving you reason to be excited.
And here's the last thing I want to say about it is this is the most excited I've ever been about proprietary tech of what the actual tech is, because I know what it is. Like, the Pro Duo was not faster than other similar cards, right? Mm-hmm. But when we, over the last decade, have seen the speed difference, like, being a video editor, like, I know the difference between a hard drive and a solid state drive. Going from solid state drives to these NVMe drives is a similar leap. It's not as big, but it's a similar leap. And that's exciting stuff when we're talking about being able to run games off of that and being able to expand that side. It's going to be expensive and it's going to be a pain in the ass, but this is a good thing. It's not like proprietary and they're using hard drives, right?
Yeah. Last piece I want to toss in here, right, is one you'd expect, but it's nice to have confirmation on. Gears 5 will be a banger on the Xbox One X series launch. This is Richard Leadbetter at Digital Foundry, who's a giant piece that you should go read for all this stuff, has a coalition tech director, Mike Rayner, in there, and his quote is this: Gears 5 will be optimized, so the work that you've seen today will be there, available at launch on Xbox Series X. The title will support smart delivery, so if you already have the title in whatever form, you'll be able to get it on Series X for free. Obviously, we've talked a lot about smart delivery. We've talked about what a great move that is for consumers. We talked about how Xbox has been great at messaging that. Not surprising, Tim, but good on them.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I mean, this is the stuff that excites me. Is like, look, man, the Xbox is not a this gen, that gen. It is a platform. These are games that you can play anywhere. Like, I keep talking about my experience with the One X, but this weekend I have been playing all those different games and popping into Game Pass just to see what's up. It's like, I love seeing Fusion Frenzy on the original Xbox next to Master Chief Collection next to Gears 5. And it's like, knowing that all those games are going to continue to be optimized and enhanced for these new consoles, like, I keep talking about Sonic Generations. Sonic Generations, an Xbox 360 game, has an Xbox One X 4K update. That's cool, right? Like, this isn't just backwards compatibility. This is, like, forwards thinking. Like, this is making old games new.
Yeah, no, totally. And it's going to be fascinating to see how much that pays off. I hope it does for them. You know what I mean? I really do hope that Xbox Series X has a strong enough launch lineup and Halo Infinite is a system seller enough that people get this, they bring it home, and it is totally the Trojan horse of, you put it down and you think you're just going to play Halo Infinite, but you turn it on and, oh, it came with a month of Game Pass. Oh my God, there's so much cool shit on Game Pass. Oh my God, xCloud. Oh my God, you know, what this thing can do. I really, really hope for all the work they've put in, for as much as they've turned the ship around at Xbox, I really hope this is successful for them.
Yep.
Tim, a quirk of fate, writes into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and says, morning all. With Xbox today detailing even more of the Series X specs and technology and seemingly not leaving themselves with as much about the console to reveal, where do you think the big PR beats will come when the official launch happens? Are they just relying on games? Could they be holding back some dream feature to shadow drop on us? Or maybe with the xCloud launch, that'll be what they make a big deal about. I'd be curious to know your thoughts on this. Stay well, a quirk of fate.
I don't think it's a dream feature. I mean, or maybe it is a dream feature, that feature being xCloud and Game Pass and all this working beautifully together. But at the end of the day, it is the games. And I think that every step they've shown right now shows that they're making the right calls. It's when it first started happening where we were hearing real substantial things about PlayStation and Xbox from seemingly smaller sites. It wasn't like a giant reveal on their own platforms. It felt off. But now looking at it, it's like, yo, you want Digital Foundry to be the ones talking about this. They're the ones that are going to present it the way that is exciting to the right audience, right? In a way that can translate between what does a flop mean to games, right? And to have this moment. And at some point, the bad news of the price needs to come out. The news of the launch date needs to come out. I do think that all this coronavirus stuff is going to push that information back because I don't think that they will feel comfortable putting a release date out with the state of the world right now. We have no idea what's going to happen with the, you know, shortage of supplies and sure, resources and stuff. But I do think it's about the games. Like, I think that they're building this now and then it's just going to be like, hey, here's Halo Infinite. Mic drop.
I think you're right too, and I think that's what's so fascinating about this console launch run up, right? Or this launch of this generation is both, yeah, PlayStation and Xbox are getting what I think personally, and I know that I'm in a very specific camp, what I think personally is the boring stuff, where this doesn't display well on stage when you're just talking about flops. Right now, to come out and go, like we've talked about before with this, go to Digital Foundry, go to the gold standard and say, hey guys, here's the box, try it out, run your test, talk about how great it is, because we know it's great, and have them come out and go, yep, it's great, it's awesome, it's running fast, it's doing this thing, so that when we get there and they do show you how fast you load into Infinite, when they do boot up, I don't even know, State of Decay 2 and show how fast that runs or how much better that looks, show you the bells and whistles of Minecraft, that speaks for itself, right? We always talk about show, don't tell. Mm-hmm. I think some of this needs to be told and then shown. And yep, I think right now you're telling all this stuff that doesn't make sense to idiots like myself, but when I see it up there, I'm going to be like, oh, I get it now. I understand why this was important.
And when we've been talking about it for 6 months, a year at that point, it's like, yeah, you're going to be able to notice. You're going to know what to look for, right?
Yeah.
Like when these games are being played and these games are being shown. It's very, very exciting stuff. And like, I just feel we've talked so much about next gen. Like, I'm just excited that I'm going to be able to unplug the PS4 and the Xbox that I currently have, plug the new ones in and keep going like nothing's changed. Like, for the first time, it's not going to be a time of like, oh, I need to find more outlets because I need everything set up at once. Like, they're making so many right calls, and I think at this point it just comes down to the games.
All right, finally, let's move on to number two. This is a short one though. Nintendo Indie World Showcase is coming tomorrow. They tweeted and emailed me, an Indie World Showcase live stream is headed your way. Tune in on Tuesday, March 17th at 10 a.m. Pacific for roughly 20 minutes of information on indie games coming to Nintendo Switch. Tim, Not yeah. unexpected, of course. Usually, if everything had gone right in the world, this would be GDC this week. There'd be mm-hmm. all sorts of developers in San Francisco and guests, and we'd have a whole bunch of different hosts here. Traditionally, right, there's always a Nindy World Showcase or in mm-hmm. Nindies or whatever you call it on Tuesday, followed by, hey, everybody who's in San Francisco, come to this hotel and play these games.
Yeah. So this was definitely expected, and it's happening as always. I think the bigger question is what happens here. So the last couple of years, this has been the show that kind of always has some type of banger indie announcement. Like last year, we had Cuphead, right? Which was a huge out of nowhere thing of this Microsoft exclusive coming to Nintendo Switch. And I just don't know where we're at. It's always hard to predict from the indie side because. Oh, sure. It's the surprises that get you. It's the games you're like, whoa, that looks – what is Celeste? You know?
Yeah, yeah,
like
yeah,
no
yeah.
one, no one was asking for Golf Story till they saw it. I think that on the other side of that, like there are games that it would be interesting to see some updates on, like Hollow Knight, Silk Song. We haven't heard about that for a while. A Cyber Shadow release date would be great. I just don't know exactly where we're at with all of that.
Oh no! I mean, I don't. For me, with the Indies or now the Nintendo Indie World Showcase, it's never about predicting it. It's never about trying to guess what's going to happen. It's just about that tomorrow we're gonna get a whole bunch of cool games, and yeah, some of the indie games we hadn't seen before are gonna come over. And it's always that thing, even right, to go out on a limb, right? Like, I think I don't even know. Is a short hike? Have they said anything about that coming anywhere other than PC?
I don't know.
Because hold on. I like how the first autofill is Switch. A short hike Switch, right? Yeah, I don't see it on here. I wouldn't be surprised, obviously. But a short hike is one of these games that turned so many heads last year and was on so many Game of the Year lists. I could easily see that being their big announcement, that's there. I think that I love Kind Words on a PC. If they could get that onto the Switch, that would be so fucking perfect and brilliant there. Like, there's a bunch of, and I'm using air quotes, big name indies that haven't made their way to the Switch yet. And it's usually, this event is usually about getting 1, 2, 3 of those announced and then also coming in and having the cool shit you weren't expecting, right?
Yeah, totally. The one thing that I'd love to see is Freedom Planet 2. Freedom Planet is a Sonic-like game, and the sequel's coming out, and there's, if I remember correctly, it's only on PC right now. I'd love to see it announced for Switch. I'd love to play it there. The one game that I think could be a huge win for Nintendo, and I'm totally talking out of my ass here that it's not already happening, but Disco Elysium.
Oh, that is a great one. You're right. You're right. You're right.
And I can kind of see that. What I do think would be great to see from Nintendo, and knowing Nintendo, they are able to be a bit more nimble than others when it comes to things like this. And given the state of coronavirus and all of that, like it, I feel like now more than ever, we need some shadow drops. Like we need some, and it's available nows. So I think that it'd be nice to get some substantial game tomorrow that they're like, and you can play it now.
Do you worry at all because of Animal Crossing on the horizon? They want on Friday Animal Crossing to be the game that saves us all from coronavirus?
I mean, there's that too, but you know, give options. I think they know that not everybody's into Animal Crossing. So maybe like speak to a couple different demographics that Nintendo knows that they have on lock.
Yeah. Okay. I agree with that. Speaking of Animal Crossing, Gregway, number 3 on the Roper Report, Animal Crossing Review Roundup. Tim, are you ready?
Let's do it.
As of 9:21 this morning, which was more than an hour ago, because this show is long, Metacritic had Animal Crossing at a 91. Nintendo Life gave it a 10, reading from Alex Olney's review. Animal Crossing New Horizons takes Animal Crossing and not only drags it back onto home consoles, but improves upon every single facet imaginable. There's more to do, more to see, more to change, more to mold, and more to love. Fans and first-time players are going to find themselves losing hours at a time gathering materials, creating new furniture, and making their island undeniably theirs. Every moment is unashamedly blissful, with excellently written characters and truly feel alive, and an island paradise that gives back infinitely more than you put in. Back when Animal Crossing New Leaf hit the shelves all those years ago and created a whole new generation of fans, many people were wondering how Nintendo could possibly top it. But here, we have our answer. This is a masterpiece that has been well worth waiting for. Over at VentureBeat, it got a 9.5. Jeff Grubb, what up, Jeff Grubb, says, Animal Crossing New Horizons is fantastic. It is the best Animal Crossing game ever made. I've played for more than 60 hours, and I don't want to stop. And for those first 60 hours, and those first 60 hours far surpassed the enjoyment I got from the first 60 hours in New Leaf, Wild World, or the original. Nintendo has found new ways to make Animal Crossing rewarding. It's also found fun new styles of play that still feel like they belong. The best thing I can say about New Horizons is that I think it's going to win over some players who previously bounced off the franchise. And it will do so without losing any longtime fans in the process. Those players will find more to love than ever before. And then on the low side, in air quotes, Game Informer gave it a 9.0. Jeff Cork wrote, Animal Crossing New Horizons is designed to be played over a long period of time, with certain items and events available at different times of the year. This review is based on playing the game daily over several weeks. That's enough to evaluate the basic progression and mechanics, but questions remain about the series staples, like seasonal changes and special festivals around real holidays. To address the natural evolution of New Horizons throughout the year, we're planning on updating this review several times, evaluating the new content, and revisiting the score if appropriate. Which I thought, Tim, was a very interesting take. And a cool way to do it, because that was our thing. Of course, like I said, Joey and I have our Animal Crossing review up there right now, youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, the Gamescast podcast feed. And, you know, we had at what review time, 15, 16 days with it. And I wholeheartedly agree with these glowing reviews. This is the best Animal Crossing I've ever played. I've played them all since GameCube, with rare exception. I think I might have missed one. And I adore this game. You know what I mean? Like today I talked about the sink flooding and all this stuff. So I haven't actually turned on my island today and it's killing me because I need to get in, see who moved in and do the daily tasks that I want to grind out in the morning before I get into my real day. And it's just so fantastic. But it is that thing of, you know, 16 days in, we didn't time skip. We didn't want to play that way. So it is, you don't know what it's going to look like. I'm excited for this, you know, Easter event they're having happen in later this month or whatever. Like, there's so much to this game that I can't wait to get further with.
Can you time skip in this one?
To my knowledge, yes. I mean, it's that thing of, I don't know. You know how Animal Crossing always has those things up there. I'm not going to name names, but I heard somebody at one of the big outlets time skipped to go see what it was and try to speed up their things. Because I'm not going to dime out anybody like Brian Altano. But I'm just going to say I heard rumors that somebody was a clown and playing it wrong. But in the reviewer's guide too, it says like it's very clear that hey, you can only review up till the day of today. So it said specifically like don't time, like you can't, if you time skip, you can't review on what you see. Yeah. So I would assume that yes, you can time skip, but I would never that because I know how to play Animal Crossing.
The thing I'm most interested about Animal Crossing, being somebody that, you know, doesn't care and is not going to play this game, I'm interested to see how Nintendo supports it going forward. Like it would be interesting if they did something where you couldn't time skip. And made sure that all the events are, you know, kind of real-time events that people have to have together. And I think a way to do that is with DLC. Like they're kind of in a new time that none of the other Animal Crossings really could have taken advantage of. So I'm hoping that with or without the time skip stuff, that there is a substantial amount of reasons and events to come back to this game over the next at least year.
And I think they will. You know, this is something Joey and I talked a little bit about in the review. I think on Friday, Blessing and I talked a little bit about, in general, Animal Crossing and time skipping and events. Because there was a question that was like, hey, would you think that they're going to like have, you know, some when Metroid's coming out, some kind of event for bug catching or fishing that would then net you a Animal Crossing or a new Samus helmet. Actually, this was in the review, I think, with Joey. And it was that idea of like, I hope so, right? Like, I do hope that they're taking everything they learned from Pocket Camp and keeping you engaged. Because, yeah, exactly, right? Of, you know, Animal Crossing can be this, is this living, breathing thing. And I, you know, I had Kevin, you know, be my fact checker on this, or at least my bullshit meter checker on it during the review, where I told him, like, you know, this is going to be a game that, you know, come December, I'm still going to be playing. I truly, truly believe that. I don't know if it'll be every day like it's been, but I definitely think I'm going to be popping in there at least once a week to tinker. And if they're giving me, on top of just, hey, watching my town evolve, moving things around, earning my bells, if they're giving me seasonal events that are more than just like, you know, I remember you never played Animal Crossing, right?
No.
It's always been a big deal when it's fall or it's winter and, you know, the leaves change and it gets snowy and like you have to change your out. You don't have to, but you want to change your outfits to blend in. Like, that's always been a huge part of it. So if you're partnering with that with like, cool, on top of these fishing tournaments they've shown and on top of this Easter event, like they're giving you so many more reasons. I hope so, man. I hope so.
Yeah. And dude, we'll see. I want to hold you to that December thing. And I don't think that's on you if you give up. I think it's on Nintendo for not giving you enough breadcrumbs to jump back on. Because I think that this is, they need to do that for this game. And I feel like Nintendo's entire games as a service strategy, the Nintendo version, I need to see them step it up because it's been a little bit disappointing to me as a fan.
This one I don't mean, like, because I know, like, when you're saying disappointing as a fan, are you thinking of like Smash Brothers?
Yeah.
Okay. I think
what's interesting. Or Mario Kart. Any other games right now.
Yeah, yeah. What's interesting about this one is that, and I guess, don't get me wrong, eventually you're going to hit a different, you know, level of this. But even in the 15 days, and what Joey and I have talked about, you know, in the review is the idea that what I'm doing now in this game, I'm laying the groundwork for what it's going to look like in 3 months, my town. Like the terraforming, the ability to move houses, the ability to really get in and build a city. Like, it's so much more than just Animal Crossing. It feels like not on par, I should say that. It feels like it's got pangs of Sim City, where I am, you know, this is my town square. I talk about this in the review. This is my town square, and I know it's always going to be the center of my world. So even right now, as I'm building my rickety dumb bridges, I'm building them where I'd want to build my, you know, awesome suspension concrete bridges later on. Like, I'm still having everything lead back. I'm using the spoke method, similar to one Disneyland that I learned about in Imagineers, Tim.
Got it. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm building this not for the moment of the enjoyment I'm having now. I'm building this for when I am to this point where I'm making this fucking awesome, hustling, bustling city. And I feel like with that happening, there's enough reasons to keep me back week after week, month after month. And then eventually, yeah, I guess you get to a point where, what am I going to spend my bells on? What am I going to do with it? But I still think there'll be enough that I'm like, this could still be different. I should go harvest these flowers. I should go do this.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Well, I'm very happy for you guys.
Thank you.
And your towns.
One day you should join us, you know? Just try it. Just try it on. See what happens. It's like those sweatpants you have on right now. Tim, I'm excited for Animal Crossing to save the world when it comes here Friday, but Friday's so far away. If I wanted something more immediate, say what came to the mom and grop shops, where would I go?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily Show host each and every weekday.
Before we get to what's out today, let's talk about our sponsors. Thank you, Kevin. Thank you.
Oh, God. He sounded like the fire from Super Mario Brothers 1 when Bowser shoots it at you.
Let's talk about our sponsors. Of course, you can go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames to be part of reader mail like so many of you have so far. You could also get the show ads free. Speaking of ad free, this episode of Kind of Funny Games Daily is brought to you by Hims. Timothy Geddes. Mm-hmm. Do we love Hims?
We do, man, especially Andy and Nick. They've been using it for a long time. Nick swears by it to the point that he'll never stop using it.
Well, this legitimately came up in conversation on The Office the other day about Hims. Yeah, because if you're a longtime listener, you know that Hims has been with us forever because they are the homies and take care of us. But we were talking about it, and Nick's like, no, like, for real, my hair wouldn't look this good if it wasn't for Hims.
I needed adorable. It, too, because they send those gummies that Nick's always talking about. And with all this, the virus issues, I recently had my eye surgery, and I need vitamin C. They were sold out of vitamin C. So Nick gave me a pack of his gummies that he had, and there's some vitamin C in there. So there we go.
There you go. ForHims.com, of course, is a one-stop shop for hair loss, skincare, sexual wellness, and more for men. It's time to write a new chapter, one in which you have hair. Thanks to science, baldness can be optional. Hims is helping guys be the best version of themselves with licensed physicians and FDA-approved products to help treat hair loss. These are prescription solutions backed by science. Hims was created by a guy who knows there's some men's health conversations that are easier online than in person. No more awkward in-person doctor visits or long pharmacy lines. For Hims connects you with real doctors online, which can save you hours, and it's completely confidential and discreet. You can be like Nick and Andy. They went to ForHims.com. They answered some quick questions. A doctor reviewed and determined it was right for them and prescribed them medication to help treat hair loss that is shipped directly to their door, which is more important than ever right now. Oh, yeah. Right now, my listeners can get started with their first month free. Go to ForHims.com/gamesdaily. That's ForHims.com/gamesdaily. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a physician who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. The offer is valid only if prescribed. 3-month minimum subscription. Additional restrictions apply. See the website for full details and important safety information. Remember, that's ForHims.com/gamesdaily. Up next is Manscaped. Timothy Geddes, do we love shaving our balls?
Oh, yes, we do.
Especially now that we have Manscaped, of course. You've heard Manscaped. They've been around for a while, too. They're taking care of our nuts, so we never nick them. Mm-hmm. Supports for Kinda Funny Games Daily is brought to you by Manscaped. Who is the best in men's below-the-belt grooming? St. Paddy's Day is just around the corner, so there is no better time to invest in the proper tools to get lucky. You and your partner will get lucky, all right, with their Lawnmower 3.0. It'll showcase your pot of gold like no other. Manscaped has the best coffee ever.
My god, that was fantastic,
right? Oh, and they have more of St. Paddy's Day pot of gold stuff in here, don't you worry about it. Manscaped has redesigned their electric trimmer. The Manscaped engineering team spent 18 months perfecting the greatest ball hair trimmer ever created, and they just released the new and improved Lawnmower 3.0. their third generation trimmer features a cutting edge ceramic blade to prevent manscaping accidents. Millions of balls are about to be nick-free thanks to Manscaped's advanced skin safe technology. Manscaping accidents are finally a thing of the past. When I tell you it's premium, it's premium. The battery will last up to 90 minutes, so you can take a longer shave. One of the coolest features is the LED light that illuminates grooming areas for a closer and more precise trimming. They've also upgraded to a 700 RPM motor with quiet stroke technology. And let's not forget about the charging stand. Show your mower off loud and proud with this intelligently designed stand. It's a rapid charging dock powered by USB.
Great.
It's always nice. Yeah.
We have Blessing Jr. in the chat, and he's saying, I've been using that Lawnmower 3.0, and let me tell you, smooth as eggs.
Jesus Christ. It's always a nice surprise for you and your partner when you can actually see... You see what? It's always a nice surprise for you and your partner when you can actually see you the tree stand stall. I'm not screwing this up. When you trim the hedges back, it's basically saying your dick will look bigger if you use this. Trim that junk of yours and get lucky this St. Paddy's Day. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code GAMES20 at manscaped.com. Your balls will thank you. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code GAMES20 at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with the free shipping. Manscaped.com. Use the code GAMES20. Cheers to manscaping your lucky charms.
Oh, I love it.
Out today, Deep Diving Adventures on Switch. Super Bit Blaster XL on Switch. The Strange Realm of Mine on Switch. Chop is Dish on PS4. Slay the Biggies, or maybe it's Bee Gees on PC. Woo-Men in Science, PC. Chronicle Unit 8 on PC. Dragon Scale 6, Love and Redemption on PC. Bone Marrow on PC. Weed Farmer Simulator. I'm sorry, Weed Farmer Simulator on PC. Encore Classic Card Games on PC. This one is awesome. Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego on PC? I'm going to have to download that because I got this PC set up in here. Democratic Socialist Simulator on PC and Mac.
Oh my god.
New dates for you. Creature in the Well is coming to PlayStation 4 March 31st. And then Resident Evil 3, Raccoon City gets a demo. Gets the Raccoon City demo on March 19th. And then Resident Evil Resistance gets an open beta on March 27th.
So here's the thing, Greg.
Lay it on me.
We need to do a stream this week. And I'm trying to figure out what Resident Evil, like how are we going to do Resident Evil 3? Evil. Because the best idea I have so far is make Andy do it.
Sure.
Because he has the streaming setup. But guess what Andy doesn't like to do?
Stream scary games.
Play scary games. I think this is a win-win.
I mean, Andy's got to do something for this company, right?
I know.
I don't think he's awake yet. You know what I mean? Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
So
exactly.
Why not, you know, scare little Andy?
I mean, just here's the thing. Everybody in chat. Well, no, don't do that. Don't do that, actually. You know what I mean? We got to just make him sure he understands the fate of the company. You know what I mean? Like we're all doing things we don't want to do because of coronavirus. He's got to play.
Confirm he is now awake.
If you didn't know, because we're all like self-quarantining, Kevin has a camera in everybody's bedroom to make sure we're breathing. He can now confirm Andy is awake. He
responded via a Slack like 2 minutes ago. Jesus.
Oh, Kevin, why are you so touchy about watching us in our bedrooms? You used to love
Jesus.
It.
Oh, God, my ear's ringing.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's squad up. This is where one of you writes into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, giving your name, username, platform of choice, and why you need help in a video game. I read it here. The best friends come and find you, and everybody plays games together. Today, Mike needs help on Xbox. His Xbox username is Van Triple H, so V-A-N-H-H-H. Maybe it's just Van. I don't know. Lapsed Division 2 player from the East Coast looking for some best friends to show him the ropes in the end game in the new DLC. Jobless. If you want to play Division 2 with Mike on Xbox, hit him up at VANHHH. Tim?
Yes.
We ask people watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames to go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight to for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, podcast services around the globe. Borzen00 says, the E is lowercase in the other one I was screwing up, the hard drive thing, because the E in PCIe is lowercase. That is pronounced as PCIe. Borzen, that is dumb, and it's just all dumb. How would I know that? You know what I mean? This is why TurboTax sucks.
It's like, if I remember correctly, it's like PCI Express, but it's like PCI is the thing. So that they're trying to make the E like a separate thing. It's just a different version of what the PCI is. So NVMe, same deal.
I'm just saying this is why PC gaming is still in fourth place behind the PlayStation 4, the Xbox, the Switch. There you go. I think Vita's almost ahead of it, but I don't know. That's what I read. That's what I read on my sources. VitaWars.com. Video Games writes in kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. It says, one major piece of news that you missed from the Xbox blowout is that all games playable on the Xbox Series X will be able to have HDR implemented using the machine learning HDR developed for Gears of War. This is system level and doesn't require any input from developers. Fusion Frenzy will be 4K HDR on the Series X. Source: the Digital Foundry video titled Xbox Series X Complete Specs Plus Ray Tracing / Gears 5 / Backwards Compat / Quick Resume Demo Showcase at about 24 minutes.
So I love that, and that's exciting stuff. However, at the end of the day, I'm already kind of a stickler when it comes to HDR, and I can tell when it's not optimized, and in the Ori review, I go into that. And so while this is – that's cool that it's using tech, like, it doesn't matter if it's not actually built for it, right? Like, gotcha. Horizon is the gold standard to me right now. Horizon and Control probably are the two best-looking HDR games, I would say. Gears 5, though, I'll give it to them. And if they're using that, then maybe I'm totally wrong and I'm an asshole, because that game was beautiful in HDR.
Kebabs continues, and you're wrong, and says, Sam Claiborne details how to time skip in his review on IGN.com. Look for the blue box section. I will not, Kebabs, because I'm not a cheater like Sam Claiborne or Brian Altano, or I guess IGN.com in general.
Wow.
I'm just saying it, putting it out there.
I get it, man.
Kebabs then also says, the spoke system is in Disney World. Disneyland was built before the spoke system was devised. Okay, true. But remember, in Disneyland, one of the big parts is that you can see the castle at all times. Like, that's how you orient yourself, all right? That's what I'm talking about with my Times Square. You can go to IGN with the other cheaters. And then Nanobiologist says, miss new date. Control DLC Foundation will be coming to Xbox in June. This was never announced before today. There you go. Tim?
Yeah.
You can't go anywhere because we have a post show to do for patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. But remember, ladies and gentlemen, this is Kind of Funny Games Daily. Each and every week down a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show, patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. You can, of course, go there, give us questions, comments, concerns. You can squat up and do all that. You can watch it live, twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. Later, youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, where our Animal Crossing review is up. We'd love it if you went and watched it. You can get it on podcast services around the globe as well. Hosting for the rest of this week looks like this, and of course this is all tentative. Tomorrow it should be me and Imran. Wednesday it should be me and Gary Whitta. Thursday it should be me and Tim. Friday it should be me and Blessing. However, that doesn't seem like a lot of Bless. We should probably get him in more, so I'll try to juggle some of that for you. Gamescast, however, remember, as I said, you're getting two of them this week. Animal Crossing review is up right now, and the Doom Eternal review will be up tomorrow morning. That's Tuesday, right, Tim? Don't me, boy. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been our first work from home podcast. I think it went pretty well, Tim.
I do too. I love that me and you have talked together so many times that we just know each other's rhythm. It's weird.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's because we're in love.
That's true.
And nothing will tear it apart.
Nothing
now
at
take
all.
Off the sweatpants.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.
They're off.